Open Floor is brought to you by FreshBooks. It's smart mobile accounting designed specifically for freelancers and small business owners. You can try FreshBooks for 30 days on us with no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/sports and enter sports in the how you heard about us section.
I know that I can bring so much more to the table, and I don't want to be typecast. I don't want people to think I'm just a shooter. I want people to know that I can bang against guys like DeMarcus Cousins and Dwight Howard, and that I can space the court and do these things, but I also can advance my game and work down at the post. You know, I knew Damian was special from the first day I met him. I guess the play that stood out the most was he had kind of like a shimmy step back type deal at the buzzer over Austin Rivers for the win in our first summer league game, first time playing an actual game together, and I was like, man, this guy is going to be the real deal.
Hi, everyone. This is Lee Jenkins from Sports Illustrated. Welcome to a new episode of Open Floor, where every week we go inside the journey of NBA players and coaches. Today, our guest on Open Floor is Myers Leonard of the blistering Portland Trailblazers. I must admit I did not expect to see the Blazers in the playoff mix in late February after losing four starters last summer, but here they are, having won 6 straight and 11 of 12, including a stunning demolition of the Golden State Warriors. Myers, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
No. Congratulations, first of all. It's, you guys are red hot, so I'm catching you at a good time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we definitely on a roll right now, and you know, as of late, but yeah, thanks.
I mean, when you guys lose 4 starters in the offseason, are you thinking this is going to be trouble, or did you have a sense that this season might go this way?
You know, it starts at the top, and that's with Damian now, obviously, our franchise player, signed in the summer. And, you know, he's in the gym every single day, putting in his work pre-practice, post-practice. And obviously, he's very well known, already has shown what he can do and continues to become even more elite. And, you know, so that's where it all started. Then this summer slowly progressed. Guys got to know each other. We went and did the San Diego thing. Guys were in earlier than I've ever seen, just because, number one, we're a young team. But, you know, also I think guys kind of wanted to get a feel for, you know, who the guys were and, you know, also how they play. So having those guys there about a month prior to training camp was huge. And, you know, so I wasn't too worried about it. I knew for me it would be a little bit more of an opportunity this year, which I was excited for. But as far as the team goes, you know, we saw it in open gyms where, like, Mo Harkless would do some, you know, really athletic play or dunk or do something. And Allen, I saw this in summer league, you know, shooting just the way he is now, the same as in summer league. And, you know, the young guys are in there working and, you know, Ed's been around the league a while. CJ, you know, obviously had a big playoff run and a good end of the year last year. And so, you know, I knew personally that we had a lot of pieces and that, you know, guys were going to come in and work. So I wouldn't say I was too worried about it. I mean, obviously, we're young and still have a long way to go, but we were all excited to start this year.
So when do you go from like that feeling as if, you know, it's not going to be as bad as people may think it will be to, wow, we can be a playoff team, the kind of team that's, you know, putting scares into, you know, some of the top teams in the league, knocking off a team like Golden State. Like when did that kind of happen?
You know, so just throughout the year, we've known that it was, and we've said it a million times to the team, coaching staff, that it's going to be a process. And we know that. And, you know, we've dropped games, a number of times. Detroit went on, I think it was like 40-11 they scored on us in the fourth quarter, dropped that game here at home. Milwaukee, Dallas here at home. Houston hits like a 30-foot buzzer beater to take it to overtime. We lose. So there's been times where we've been tested and come up short. And I think because of that, we now realize and have realized for, you know, probably 2 months now, that we're young, yes, but we can win. But the key factor is we have to bring it every night, period. We don't have the luxury of, you know, being a veteran team that knows they can stay in games and, you know, get away with, you know, some mistakes or a couple turnovers here or just not doing the right thing every time down the court. We have to bring energy and effort and be laser focused at all times. Starting on the defensive end, you know, coach and all the coaches challenge us to be a top defensive team in the league, and we've continued to climb and climb and climb. And right now, I believe we stand at number three. We were just at number one, so you know, we've really made strides there, and that allows us to get out, be young, be athletic, you know, and then obviously Damian, CJ having the lane to score and deliver the ball as well. There's just, it's a very, very fun team to play for. And so I would say we've known for a while that we had a chance to be good, but now that we're taking, I think, even another step towards playing with all the top teams and knowing that we can play with everyone, that's just the truth. And you know, we have to be confident in ourselves, but again, we have to bring it every single night against a Brooklyn last night and a Golden State a few games ago. So we know that we have to keep working, but we've known for a while that we could be a good team.
When you come out of the break, you guys were hot going into it. You come out of the break, you have Golden State at home. Did you have a sense that the kind of momentum would carry over, that everything you guys were doing would carry over, or were you a little more uncertain that night?
To be honest, I thought it was a perfect situation for us. We had, like you said, come off playing very well, prior to All-Star break. All-Star break, it's good to get away, honestly, from each other, be with their families or going and taking a trip, or, you know, CJ going and doing some things at All-Star, just to recharge our batteries, mentally and physically. And so coming back, you know, we have a structure that we all understand defensively and what we want to do on the offensive end as well. You know, obviously you got to get the Cowboys out and, you know, get your first couple of practices in, but going into Golden State, you know, it was a big game for us. It's easier to get up against those kind of teams, obviously, and especially Golden State.
I mean, even before that game, I mean, when you guys are in the locker room, did it feel like a special opportunity, or in the NBA, is it not like that? Because, I mean, they're just a team, but they're not just a team. You know what I mean? Like, how do you approach that?
Yeah, 100%. You know, coming in, you know, it's obvious. Golden State is a very, very good team. They have players in a system that, you know, is setting records right now. And so coming off All-Star break, we knew we had a really good chance at home to compete with a team that's considered right now, you know, the best team in the NBA. So, you know, it was an exciting game, an exciting day, exciting night for us. And, you know, we knew we had to step up to the plate and really bring it that night, be super focused, understand what they want to do and what we want to do. And we did that. You know, obviously, you know, Dame gets going and CJ and all these other guys. And, you know, the momentum was definitely going our way, but, you know, we were confident going in. We knew we had to execute a game plan, but that we had a chance to get them, and we did. That's just all there is to it.
You and Dame were drafted the same year. You know, I'm sure you went in, had the whole press conference thing together in Portland. How long did it take to realize this was not a standard Weber State point guard?
You know, the funny thing is Damian and I came to Portland on the same day. We had our press conference and, you know, we signed some autographs and did this, that, and the other. And, you know, we kind of went our separate ways. You know, we had said what's up or whatever, but went our separate ways. And I don't know, maybe 3 hours after us getting done with all of that stuff, we both randomly ended up at the gym there at the practice facility. And so, you know, that was interesting. You know, I thought I'd be the only one in there. All of a sudden he rolls in. We shoot some jumpers and, you know, chat, and then go over to the sideline and, you know, just kind of ask, you know, where are you from? You know, how was college? You know, it's so awesome that we're here together. And just little things like that to kind of get the ball rolling. And I knew from that day forward that he was, number one, a good guy, but obviously was going to be a really good player too. Because that's one thing I personally take note too with different guys. I think when there's really good chemistry, and it's evident with just the team in general, with Damian, he cares and he wants everyone to be successful alongside of him and be the leader and, you know, go by example. And so, you know, that was definitely where the ball got rolling. And then, you know, summer league, he has a huge summer league, and you could just tell all the things he can do, put the ball in the basket. Now he's evolving into being an even better playmaker and making plays for other guys and continuing to work as hard as he can on defense, and just the whole system of everything is seemingly coming together in time. And again, we all know we have to keep working, but you know, I knew Damian was special from the first day I met him, just because the guy he was, and I had seen some YouTube clips and this, that, and the other about, you know, how he worked up until the draft. So, he's definitely a very special player and a really, really cool guy.
Didn't he hit you with a lob like first play of summer league or something like that really early?
Yeah, he had a lob to me. I know that. And then the most, I guess the play that stood out the most was he had kind of like a shimmy step back type deal at the buzzer over Austin Rivers for the win in our first summer league game, first time playing an actual game together. And I was like, man, this guy is going to be the real deal.
Yeah, I would say so. Myers, a lot of people, I think, know your story. Definitely people in Illinois know it. People in Portland know it. I don't know that everyone does. And it's probably one of the most remarkable, inspiring journeys in the NBA. And, you know, I sort of wanted to ask you a little bit about that. I know you were, you know, you were really young, when a lot was happening to you as a child. I mean, were both your parents athletes growing up? Do you have memories of them playing sports?
So I know my mom was a runner. She's 6 foot, pretty slim, but muscular. And was always, you know, active growing up. My father actually was a golf pro at 6'4". He's a very, very good golfer. Did some stuff on the East Coast, and then we moved to Robinson where I'm pretty much from. And he was the head pro there at the country club. And so they're both very active. My dad played football when he was younger. And so it I guess the athleticism piece runs in the family. But yeah, you know, I guess my story is different. You know, everyone kind of has their own story. Unfortunately, I lost my father at the age of 6. That certainly wasn't easy on our family. My mom, trying to raise my brother and I, Bailey, doing the best she could, has a pretty bad history of back issues. And so all of a sudden that becomes a bigger issue. And so my brother goes to the Marines to kind of try to give back as much as he can. I'm just, being myself, honestly enjoying life, playing all the sports I can play, playing on teams because I really love the interaction and, my group of guys, fifth grade, this is the honest truth. We told each other, we want to win a state championship when we're in high school. And all of a sudden, time rolls on. We win a state championship my senior year, on and on. I go to Illinois. And so, it's been a fun ride for me. I've had a lot of people in my life, the Siler family, my high school athletic trainer, different people in the community that have really, they took me under their wing and really just cared about me and cared about me as a person. But then also, they were, everyone was always happy for our success as a team. And, then I move on to Illinois, don't have the best freshman year, come out my sophomore year and really kind of get rolling. Know I have maybe a chance to go to the NBA, and, people continue to follow my success. And it's so cool, man. Coming from a small town of Robinson, about 6,800 people, everyone, pretty much knows everyone. They kind of, they enjoy watching me, but the best part about it is they don't realize how much I love going back home and being a part of that and everything like that. I'm just a normal small town kid that, happened to be unbelievably blessed with height and athleticism and everything like that, but also to have the right people in my life at the right time. And, I think the struggle helps. Obviously now I can take care of my mom and help my brother out and do different things that, a lot of people dream of. I'm just so incredibly blessed that, that I'm able to do different things now. Looking back, it's just, it's hard to even fathom, to be honest, but it's been a fun journey so far. And there's, still a long road ahead. I come to the NBA, young rookie, 20 years old, changes, all different kinds of things going on. And, you know, trying to adjust the league. It's never ending.
I mean, 6 years old is one of those ages where you probably can remember some things, not a lot of things. Do you have memories of your dad? Like, do you remember that time at all?
A little bit. You know, it was, you know, like you said, it's kind of right around the age where you remember some, you don't remember everything. And, you know, I can always remember going to his mom's house, my grandma's house, to have my number one favorite meal, which is chicken and dumplings, just a home-cooked meal and, you know, hanging out. But, you know, not a lot. I can remember going to the golf course sometimes. But I've obviously, you know, now that I'm, you know, a young man, growing man, you know, hearing stories and, you know, hearing people talk about them that were at the country club at the time and all different kinds of things. And so I, you know, like I said, I hear stories now, but I don't have a lot of recollection.
Do you golf?
I do. You know, obviously as a 7-footer, there's a lot of room for error in that swing. it's fun to get out there. You know, it's more about, you know, going out with friends and, you know, talking and having a good time than it is actually being good at it. I think I'll be okay eventually, but I'm certainly not a very good golfer.
I mean, so after that happens, how do you and your mom and your brother cope? Like, how did you guys kind of just make it through, pay the bills, get through those years?
You know, it's kind of, you know, people talk about the struggle and, you know, I think it has really, you know, I had to mature faster than, you know, I would say most younger kids and younger men would. You know, as a family, again, my brother goes to the Marines to take care of himself, try to give whatever he can. You know, but even in the younger days, my mom just did what she could. You know, again, I had like the Siler family take me under, you know, help pay for some AAU tournament stuff. And, you know, people knew kind of our situation. And looking back at it now that I have more of an idea of kind of, you know, what maybe went on, you know, I think people were willing to, you know, to help out or make things not so expensive to where it wasn't a hassle or, you know, my mom constantly feeling like she's not doing enough because, you know, people just care. And that's the beauty of being where I'm from, just small town people doing whatever they can for the next person. You know, I'm the kind of guy where I'm going to take my shirt off my back for the next person and, you know, certainly for my family, but that's just kind of the culture and community of where I come from. And, you know, we got by and that's all that matters. And now I get to, you know, sit back and watch my mom enjoy her life and, you know, my brother, and now I got a little niece and, life is beautiful. Life is amazing.
That's because you guys were really kind of bouncing around, right? Until you met the Silers.
A little bit. You know, we lost our house because we didn't have enough money. The house that my mom and dad had there in town. You know, I can remember the lights getting shut off, the water getting cut off. Then we get kicked out and, you know, we're sleeping on the floor and, oh, man. And so we finally find a place we can rent. And then we pretty much sit there. And even with that rent, it was fairly low. You know, it's cool looking back to think of, you know, where I live, where I come from, what I didn't have. But that truly is what kind of molds you. And it's, you know, when you're younger, you don't really understand that you don't have much. I don't think I didn't care. I went about my way. I went to school. I love playing sports. I tried to be as kind to everyone as I could be. And thankfully for me, I can, like I said, I had people take me under their wing, the Silers, you know, helping me out. My high school athletic trainer and telling me, look, man, you got a chance to be really good. You know, lift some weights, be in the gym, stuff like that. And, you know, then I go to college, Bruce Weber, you know, really, really good guy, great coach, was with him for 2 years and, you know, constantly reminding me, be a good human being, but continue to work your tail off on the court. And just so blessed to have the right people at the right time. And then in Portland too, my first 3 years, I had Kim Hughes, who, you know, we're very, very close. Unfortunately, he's gone now and that's fine. I'm more mature and I kind of understand what's going on, but he helped me a ton. Now I have assistant coaches and Terry and everyone just, you know, I think people kind of understand that, you know, I'm going to come in to work and I'm going to be a good guy as I can, a good teammate. And, you know, I think he'll respect that.
How did you meet the Seilers? Because, like, reading back on your story, it almost sometimes seems like, you know, you had two families at the same time. I mean, did they just come into your life through sports?
Yeah, through sports. Austin, the oldest, and I are the same age. And there's Aaron. He's 2 years younger than Abby, is still in high school. But we met just through, RHS, Robinson High School basketball camps, and I'd see him around. And I'd be at the Ball Diamond playing all the time during the summer, baseball, and, you know, just always out and about. And, you know, they took me under their wing. They kind of, I think, noticed that, you know, our situation, like I said, and, you know, that I could use some help, honestly, just with guidance in life and, you know, honestly, some financially. And they were just so giving and so willing to help me out and help our family. And, you know, then they, you know, not that I'm super religious, but they took me to church on Sundays and they would allow me to, you know, come over to grandma's house or go out to, the Mexican restaurant in town and pick up my bill for me, or, you know, allow me to take some carry out for my mom. And they're, you know, such incredible human beings. And not only them, there was other people too. And, you know, I can go on for days about how many people have even in small ways, helped me out and just been so kind. And it's just, really amazing. But they're definitely like a second family. I talk to them all the time, obviously. And, you know, we're getting ready to take off on the road after tomorrow night against Houston, go back to Chicago, which is actually 4 hours from home, but I'll be able to see them then. And then in Indianapolis is only 1:45 because I'm from Southern Illinois. There's going to be hundreds of people there. And it's just, it's so cool to, again, have people follow my success and of course have the Seilers and the other people who are really, really close and obviously my family.
Yeah. So when Bailey enlisted, your brother enlisted, were you happy for him? Were you scared? Were you sad? Like what were the feelings like when he, you know, when he left? I'm sure you guys leaned on each other a lot during that time.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I have to admit, I'm a bit emotional. That's just the way it is. I got married this summer. I cried at my wedding. I saw my wife come down the aisle. I shed a tear. You know, and that's just how I'm built. I don't claim to be any tough guy, but the day I knew my brother was, you know, thinking about going to the Marines, and all of a sudden one day this a recruiter pulls up to the house, and I like look out the window. I'm like, who the heck car is this? And Bailey's all ready to go. What's going on? He said, hey, I gotta leave for boot camp and training. And so I said, all right, cool. You know, gave him a hug. He walks out the door, and all of a sudden he takes off, you know, and I look out the window and I'm like, man. So I went in my room and just tears started flowing. You know, I didn't know that, you know, him being gone was gonna, you know, hit me like a freight train. But, you know, I go in my room and now all of a sudden it's, you know, I'm happy for him because I know that, and even now looking back on it, he really, really enjoyed it. And obviously it's hard on family. It's hard on me. You know, that was my senior year. You know, he's getting newspaper clippings of us, you know, making our run and winning state and all these different things. And, you know, I can talk to him every now and then. Then I go to college. He's still in the Marines, goes on a second tour to Afghanistan. You know, and every time I had some goofy number coming up, I would leave class, and I'm one to always make sure I'm at class on time and in the class. And, you know, I'd be out of the room and, you know, hello. And it'd be, hey, you know, I just got off a mission. And so I was happy for him. You know, definitely, you know, a little scary, I would say. I mean, my brother was, you know, in harm's way. But, you know, talk about, a lot of respect for someone and, you know, definitely very honorable what he did. You know, all of the service people. But, you know, when it's your family member, you feel obviously much more attached.
Because that was even in college, right? You were keeping tabs on him the whole time.
That's correct. And then, you know, obviously the story everyone knows about my sophomore year. He had called me and told me, hey, look, I got to go on a mission. I'll call you in a couple of weeks. I said, okay, cool. So it's our last home game against Michigan there my sophomore year. And little did I know, Ellie, my wife now, girlfriend at the time, had been working with one of my good buddies who knows some people with the Big Ten and Big Ten Network and all that. So they had, you know, obviously done the story behind the scenes, and then they get my reaction to my brother surprising me after our morning shoot around and everything like that. And, you know, the emotion you see is very real. That's just, again, that's just the way I am. You know, to have him back, number one, to see me play, but just, you know, that I knew he was back and safe was amazing. And so, you know, that's the bigger story that everyone sees. But, you know, my life was definitely very sneaky in being able to go about getting all that set up, but definitely a special moment.
I mean, he was at like all your games when you were growing up. Was your mom able to make those games, or was her back issue so bad that it was hard for her to kind of fully enjoy everything you were doing?
So that's an interesting piece there. For example, so my wife, never was able. She talks to my mom now, but she never, you know, had seen my mom at a college game, or, you know, I'd tell her like she made a couple of my high school games. She made it to the state tournament, which was unbelievable to have her there. She made it to Super Sectionals. But other than that, since probably 2005, which I would have been, middle school or earlier, she wasn't able to make it to anything just because of her back and, you know, everything, you know, that was going on. It wasn't hard on me, but I knew in my heart that she wished she could be there. She was at every single baseball practice, every single basketball, you know, everything on down the line. She would always be there. I would always be there early. And it was kind of weird, but we always took pride in me being very early and, you know, being ready to go and getting some extra work in. So she unfortunately wasn't able to make it to a lot in my recent days, even in the NBA. She's been to Indianapolis once, which is, you know, again, where a bunch of people come out. But you know what? I know in her heart she wants to be there. She watches all my games on TV. And so it's still pretty cool.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more from Myers Leonard. Every great team has a strong support system to back them up. The same goes for your business, and FreshBooks is here to help. For the best way to manage your books and make tax season easy, get FreshBooks, a super intuitive tool that makes creating and sending invoices extremely simple for freelancers and small business owners. FreshBooks stands out where it really counts, getting you paid. You can create and send professional invoices in just 30 seconds. You'll see exactly when your client looked at the invoice you've emailed, tracking the status of all our outstanding invoices for you. FreshBooks can even send late payment reminders to your clients automatically, which means you're not wasting time chasing down and fighting clients for payment. The results speak for themselves. FreshBooks users get paid 5 days faster on average. Don't just take my word for it. Right now, FreshBooks is offering my listeners 30 days of unrestricted use totally free, and you don't need a credit card to sign up. Just go to FreshBooks.com/sports and enter sports in the How You Heard About Us section. That's FreshBooks.com/sports, enter sports in the How You Heard About Us section. On the Edge of Sports podcast, tennis great Martina Navratilova opens up to Dave Zirin about her early life in Czechoslovakia, her defection to the United States, and the current state of politics in her adopted country. Find the Edge of Sports podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or edgeofsportspodcast.com.
In the midst of all this, you had just an incredible growth spurt, a little like Anthony Davis, as between freshman and sophomore year of high school. How did that change things for you? Did you kind of realize just how transformative that growth spurt might be?
I knew a little bit. So as it goes, you know, I love playing baseball. I love playing basketball. I was 6'4" at the end of my freshman year. And then all of a sudden we do spring. I go through the basketball season and I have some real, you know, lower, not terrible back pain, but my knees killed me all the time. And I couldn't figure out what the heck was going on. But still just going about my way. And I go to do spring physicals for baseball. And they're like, Myers, you're 6'10". Almost 6'11". I'm like, what the heck? They're joking. And so, I all of a sudden, you know, that's when I knew, you know, that maybe I was going to have to give up baseball and, you know, maybe I should really start focusing on basketball. But I had people say, Myers, look, you know, enjoy high school, you know, play multiple sports if you can. And, you know, that's what I wanted to do. Then we jump into the next year, and now I'm, you know, everyone knows I'm this tall, and, you know, I'm wanting to play AAU basketball and go travel and do different things and kind of be seen, be known. And so I wasn't awkward. You know, I was always all over the place trying everything. Golf, even when I was younger, golf, I'd be at the pool swimming, basketball. I mean, you name it, I was trying tennis, ping pong, you know, on down the line. And so I always have had an ability to play multiple sports and not be, I suppose, uncoordinated, you know, for my size, because, you know, coming from a small town, 6'4" as a freshman is pretty big, but, you know, I get the growth spurt, and, you know, I was able to kind of stay within myself and just continue to work on my game a little bit. You know, looking back, it's funny, I could have put even more work, because you just sometimes just don't understand, I don't think, you know, how much you can improve and work on, you know, on a daily basis. But nonetheless, you know, I'm here now, obviously, but somehow I managed to continue to be fairly athletic for my size and not a total goofball.
Yeah, but you were a guard, right? Originally?
Well, yes and no. I always would spend time, you know, post practice and before practice sometimes working on my jumper and everything like that. But, you know, that's kind of been a little misconstrued, to be honest. I was always, you know, sometimes be on the wing, but because I was taller than everyone, because I come from such a small town, I had to play post for the majority of the time, but I was always trying to do different things and work on all kinds of, you know, parts of my game.
And then, I mean, just even more recently, I mean, you've completely, it seems like, improve your three. I mean, you take more threes than you have. How did that go? I mean, how did you kind of bring that into your game more? Is that something that was there before and you had to bring back, or how, what would you say was the evolution there?
You know, like I said, I've always wanted to work on more, you know, ball handling, you know, on the offensive end, especially ball handling, you know, every now and then. But my shot, you know, continuing to extend my range, get my shot off quicker, bank shots, you know, shots all over the floor, obviously continue to work on my post game. But the three itself, I always knew I had the range to do it and the strength to do it. And to be completely fair, I like to study and look around the league, and, you know, the way the league is going, no, I don't like to call myself a four. In fact, I really hate it, to be honest. But I don't want to be labeled a four. I kind of joke around and say I'm a four and a half. But I'm traditionally more of a five at this point. I can guard people in the post. You know, Boston defense continues to get better. Defending the rim continues to get better. And defending fours I can do. However, it's not necessarily my strength to be running all over the place. Even though I have the capability, you know, a 7'1" person at about 260 pounds moving all over the place isn't exactly ideal. And then on the offensive end, continuing to expand my post game, being able to roll to the rim and finish, which I can, but also, you know, playing the role that this team needs, space for Damian, CJ, me shooting threes, opening up lanes for them. You know, obviously against like a Memphis last year in the playoffs, it was much more evident that, you know, it was, I suppose, frustrating for their team to try to figure out, you know, how they were going to guard me, how they're going to guard pick and rolls, you know, with spacing and things like that. Because again, naturally, those types of bigger fours, fives gravitate to the paint, and, you know, I'm able to space the floor and shoot the ball. But I've always been able to shoot them. I work a long time in practice, and just the evolution of the game, again, I knew was moving in the, you know, bigs being able to do multiple things. And that's one thing that excites me, honestly, is going to the gym every day and working on all of a sudden now shot pick, one dribble pull up, or shot pick, one dribble get to the rim, or floater, because I like to use my floater every now and then, the three in itself. And then continuing to expand and work my way back down to the post like I used to do in high school and college, and, you know, just try to become as well-rounded player as I can.
Yeah, well, you weren't playing that much in year two of your career. Is that kind of when you had to, you know, think about those things and sort of figure out what you could add to kind of, you know, get your career going the way you wanted?
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty true statement. You know, obviously, my rookie year, I come in, I played probably because, you know, I was a high draft pick, and, you know, I kind of want to see some things, but that was just, and it's not a wash of a year, but it's just, you know, you're getting totally acclimated to the league. And then year two, I come in and, you know, very hopeful to play some more minutes, continue to learn. And unfortunately I didn't, but that maybe, helped me kind of look in the mirror and say, look, okay, what more can you work on? What more can you add? Because right now, being in the post or, you know, doing these things isn't going to work. That's just, you know, not what you're going to bring to the table at this moment. And so, you know, I started working on my threes more and working on getting my shot up quicker in the mid range and, you know, like a short pick and roll or pick and pop, excuse me. And, you know, I continue to work on all these things, watch my film, try to evolve as much as I can as a player. And then, you know, continue to work on behind the scenes. Year three comes along, really excited about the summer I had, you know, playing some pickup, noticing that I'm, you know, more aggressive, able to do more. But unfortunately, we had a guy who had played well in the year prior. And so he, you know, naturally got the nod, which I can respect. And so I sat back yet again, watched my film, played as hard as I could if I got some minutes, and continue to work on threes, work on this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, you know, unfortunately for the other guys, but you know, I kind of fell into some minutes because some guys got hurt. And so I played fairly well and fairly consistent for my young career at the end of last year. And then obviously in the playoffs, being able to hold my own against like Gasol and Zebo and space the floor and make, I mean, unbelievable amount of percentage of threes. I was talking to someone else the other day, yeah, and in the playoffs, it was like no other zone I've been in. You know, I'm able to make threes much more easy now, and it's kind of something people know I can do. But at the time last year, you know, to be on that stage in the playoffs doing that, even during my pregame warmups, I joke and say, I swear there must have been a gust of air fly through the gym because I don't know how I just missed. It was pretty crazy, and it's still that way now. But I, again, just continue to advance and be the best player I can be.
Well, you've had some of your best games against some of the top-tier centers in the league. Is there any rhyme or reason for that, you think?
Well, obviously, as a competitor, you can naturally kind of get up for the bigger names and stuff. And that's not to say, you know, I'm not excited to play every game and go on full bore. But, you know, DeMarcus Cousins or Dwight Howard, you know, those guys are very proven, very known. And, you know, they put up, you know, unbelievable stat lines prior to Cousins coming to Portland. And I'm not some DeMarcus Cousins stopper team defense, but I did fairly well against him, and actually fairly well against him in Sacramento as well. But he was like one of four players. I don't know who they, I mean, he was like David Robinson. I mean, maybe Will and one other guy. He's one of four to do, I believe, over 100 points and like over something crazy, like 40 rebounds or something in a 2-game span. Then he comes to Portland and we did well. And I did well. And so I, you know, kind of take it as a pride thing and want to do my best, you know, against guys like that. And of course, against everyone else. The thing I always go back to is I know that I can bring so much more to the table, and I don't want to be typecast. I don't want people to think I'm just a shooter. I want people to know that I can bang against guys like DeMarcus Cousins and Dwight Howard and that I can space the court and do these things, but I also can advance my game and work down at the post, continue to be a better pick and roll defender, continue to, you know, defend the rim and become a better shot blocker and have better timing with that. I know that I have just so much more to offer, and I know I have to bring it every day, every game. And, you know, my wife asked me a weird question there, not weird, an interesting question the other day. She said, percentage of your potential, because she's my number one fan. She loves talking to me about basketball and everything. And she said, what percentage of your potential do you think you've honestly tapped into? I sat there and I looked at her funny at first. And I said, well, you're going to have to give me a second to think about that. And I said, to be honest, I would say 65 or 70. I feel like I have so much more to tap into. And again, I understand that it takes an everyday grind, being in there early, getting shots up, working on my post game, continuing to develop my body to move quicker and be more explosive. And now with the 3-point line stuff, get my shot up quicker, or be able to read if a guy like Trevor Ariza happens to be guarding me, that he's going to close out quicker. So either get the shot up or maybe try to, move into the pass for a one dribble pull up, and just try to continue to read what the situation is presenting me. Because I was talking to one of our media guys the other day, I can't remember which one, but I said, look, throw high school out, because that, I'm playing against, smaller guys, and, what is really going on with the level of talent there. Then my freshman year, I don't play much in college at Illinois. And my sophomore year, I have a pretty solid year, but that's still not NBA caliber, and the rules are different, and everything was different. I wasn't shooting threes. I was in the post. And now all of a sudden, I come to the NBA, young, wide-eyed, trying to figure things out. And, just working hard, being the guy I am. And trying to figure out the league. And again, my rookie year was kind of just back and forth, roller coaster up and down, trying to figure out what's going on. Second year, don't play. Third year, really don't play much. Had a big run towards the end of the year, good playoffs. Now this year, I start off the year not shooting the ball at all, obviously where I wanted to be. I was at some point early in the season, I was like one of my last 23 or 24. I mean, it was crazy. I can never imagine, shooting the ball like that. And for me to now climb out and be roughly at 35%, it has been, in a selfish way, a testament to trying to climb out of that hole. But also, it just comes down to having time on the court for me, and time and experience. And, now that we're rolling, sometimes that's tough. Now Mo Harkless is playing well, and, I would consider myself a very unselfish player. I'm happy on the bench cheering for everybody, but just itching and wanting to be in there. But I understand still it's a process for me, and that I have to bring it every day. And that's just all there is to it.
Yeah, and you guys have such great depth right now. You mentioned the DeMarcus matchup earlier. When you're getting ready for something like that, is it film work? Is it prep? Or is it just want to? Like, how do you guard a guy who seems unguardable?
Well, there's a lot of things that go into it. Number one, being physically ready, honestly. You got to understand, what he brings. He's strong, but he can move. So having your body ready, number one. Number two, the film work, understanding what he likes, right block, left shoulder, right shoulder, face up, sweep baseline, trail threes every now and then. There's a lot of things that guy is capable of. So understanding, what he wants to get to at different spots on the floor is important. And then it just all comes down to being ready, being prepared as far as attacking and trying to stop him, and being forceful. With a guy like that, you have to just do your best. Sometimes he's going to score and you say, wow, he just made a better play. But being alert, being ready, and bringing it, 110% or more. That's just, it's a battle. It is literally a war out there when you're playing a guy like that.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, just I think that, you have to let the physical presence be known early, that, he's not, you have to make everything very difficult for him. I think back to my college days when I used to go down to the post, people would try to frustrate me. And it's not that I'm trying to get under his skin. It's more that I have to let my presence be known that, I'm going to make this as difficult as possible.
Are there any guys you look at, you kind of think, well, I could take something in his game or his, you know, his path? Is there anybody like that that you, you know, I don't even know, maybe going back to when you were a kid or now, who you sort of look at as a model?
Dirk a little bit, solely for the fact that he can shoot the ball as a big. And even now, maybe like a Marcus Gasol type, I truly believe that I have the ability to pass the ball fairly well, have an ability to face up in the post, go off the glass, or, you know, two dribble hook shot over the top of maybe a smaller defender, or try to get past maybe a big that's a little more slow of foot, extend my range still to three, which Mark has done a little bit, but the honest truth is I see so much more for myself, and I believe other people do as well, and that I can continue to do more and more, and not just be labeled as a shooter, be able to guard fours, guard fives, be able to go down the block if they try to put someone smaller on me, be able to, in a low shot clock situation, switch and pick and roll, keep a guard in front of me, make it like a tough shot. If he makes it, whatever. Be able to space against a Memphis and try to drag their bigs away from the floor. So where Mo Harkless cuts to the rim, or, you know, CJ gets the seam, or Damian is able to get freed up and get an easier shot off when teams are really trying to take things away from him. So it's just, again, it's fun really to go to the gym every day and realize there's just more that can be done.
Is Bailey back home in Illinois now?
He is. He's back in Robinson. He, like I mentioned, my little niece just turned two not too long ago. He's back home getting ready to start another job, but that's besides the point. Yeah, he's back home. He kind of helps my mom when she needs it, and that's where she's at as well.
So do they just sit in front of that league pass every night and think about what incredible trip it's been?
Oh, 100%. It was funny. I actually was on the phone with him all the way to the arena yesterday, just saying what's up, asking how everyone's doing. And we talk frequently, but I just happened to be that I was on my way to the arena yesterday. And, you know, obviously once I pull up, he says, good luck. You know, we'll be watching. And my mom will send me, you know, a picture of the TV of me, I don't know, talking after a post game or standing there on the free throw line or, you know, whatever it may be. And, or I'll have a good buddy, you know, call from back home and say, man, great. It's so cool, man. People love me, but they can't quite, I don't think, grasp how much I love that they, care so much about me.
I mean, I know a lot of guys in the league, you know, they've come from difficult backgrounds stuff, but do you talk about this? Like, are you the kind of person who goes to schools and shares this kind of stuff, or do you keep it a little bit more private?
You know, I would say my story, like you said, is kind of known, definitely in Illinois, a little bit in Portland, and maybe sprinkled here and there throughout. But you know, I certainly don't mind sharing my story. In fact, I think it's cool. You know, I'm very open to sharing. You know, I go back to my high school and it was just a totally random day. I was back just seeing my family for a couple of weeks after the season last year. And I just wanted to go say what's up to my old high school coach. And, you know, they actually, for whatever reason, had some school-wide assembly. And so they said, hey, would you talk to the kids? So, yeah, of course. I said, you know, you guys, you know, I had some struggle, but I continued to work. You know, I've been very blessed in many ways, but so are all of you. You know, whether you become an NBA player, you want to be a nurse, you want to be a fireman, whatever it is, you know, take pride in it, have passion. You know, live life to the fullest. And, you know, then they do Q&A. And I honestly love that kind of stuff. You know, or we had an appearance today as a team, when we go out to this place where, you know, All we did was some fundamental drills with these kids, and I was at the defensive station, just much less fortunate, you know, young individuals, and, you know, they're just in there having a huge smile on their face. That kind of stuff to me is what trumps everything. You know, obviously I love my family. I love my wife, my dog, my family back home. I love playing basketball, and those things will always be a constant, but to be able to give back, share inspiration with younger kids or even people my age or older, you know, every now and then, you know, I tweeted something the other day And it was, if you help one person, you might not change the world, but you can change that world for that one person. And so that to me, that's inspirational. That's really neat. And that's what I think, there's purpose in life, and I want to have purpose. I don't want to just have success. It's all about, for me, family, friends, and just doing what I can to help anyone.
Yeah, it seems like community. I mean, when you think about kind of the situation your mom was in, you were in, your brother, it seems like the community as a whole sort of lifted you all, or at least helped lift you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I kind of live by two words, and that's love and loyalty. And that's what I received from them from the get-go, and from my family, and from different people here and there. The love, the caring about me, caring about what's going on, me then, loving them back, going back home, doing a basketball camp, being close with a lot of people and helping however I can, being able to help my mom, and loyalty, just knowing where I come from, being loyal to my wife, to my best friends, and doing whatever I can. It's just this constant cycle of, give and take. But I constantly find myself, even in some situations, my wife is like, "Myers, relax, like go take a nap or something. You need to rest. Like, you don't always have to be doing something for someone else, even when, it feels so right." And she's, it's the truth. I'm constantly on the go here, there, and everywhere, but, man, that's just how my heart is built. God, that's just all there is to it.
What are those things? Are those things like appearances or just meetings?
I'm doing appearances or calling back home and trying to help my mom with something. You become stressed, everything is never always smooth and in the way it should be. Maybe something happens back home and now I'm on the phone and stressed out and I got a game to my game, last night or something, and I'm trying to figure something out, and now, like I said, I'm stressed, and my wife's like, "Myers, you just like let someone else take care of it. Don't always constantly worry about what everyone else is doing and what's going on." Or I'll say, like, my best friend, my best man at my wedding, I always like to get him stuff, new golf shoes or this, that, and the other. She's like, "Myers, pump the brakes." He loves it, but you don't always have to do that for him. And I'm just, I don't know. I'm constantly trying to do what I can. And it's not about material things. I like sharing what I have and what I've been so blessed with.
That's great. Myers, I really appreciate you doing this. It's great talking with you. You're an inspiring guy. And I'm grateful you spent the time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I love this kind of stuff. Appreciate you having me on.
Congratulations, right. And good luck with the rest of this. 25 games left,
yeah,
I think. So good luck with it.
Thanks to Myers for being on the show and everyone out there for listening to another episode of Open Floor. Please feel free to send any guest ideas my way. You can find me on Twitter at @SI_LeeJenkins or my producer, Alan Kim, at AlanXKim, and use the hashtag Open Floor. Thanks again, and see you next week in the Open Floor.
Another great edition of Open Floor is in the books. Did you know Locked On has a daily podcast for all 30 NBA teams? If you're a Lakers fan, search Locked On Lakers. A Celtics fan, search Locked On Celtics. Warriors fans, search Locked On Warriors. Yes, all 30 NBA teams have a daily bite-sized podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.